Barbecue season is, well, it's officially here, and you know what that means, right? Smoky aromas, that sizzle of meat on the grill, and that constant search for that secret ingredient, the one that makes your grilling truly unforgettable. So forget your standard rubs for just a minute, because today we're diving deep. We're tackling how to make a coffee-based BBQ rub, our mission. To really unpack it all, the essential steps, the crucial choices you have to make, and all those incredible creative twists involved in crafting a rub that's unique, flavorful, and totally yours. We want every single dish you grill up this season to leave a lasting impression.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the foundation for this whole deep dive, it comes from a pretty extensive guide on mastering these coffee-based rubs. It's really packed with practical insights, not just recipes, but getting into the why behind it all, to really elevate your grilling game.
All right, so let's start at the beginning. The heart of any killer coffee rub. It's got to be the coffee bean itself, hasn't it? The choice you make right there, well, it makes a huge difference. It dramatically shapes that final flavor.
Absolutely. It's the cornerstone. So primarily, you're looking at two main varieties, Arabica and Robusta. Now, Arabica beans, they're known for more intricate, kind of nuanced flavor profiles. You often get these hints of sweetness, maybe some acidity. This makes them really an excellent choice for a well-rounded rub. Why? Because they're softer, more complex flavors, enhance the meat without just, you know, blasting it. They let the natural meat flavor shine through. It's about building this sort of elegant backdrop.
Right. And then you've got Robusta.
Yeah.
Now, I always just thought of Robusta as like the caffeine powerhouse, but sounds like it has a real role here.
Oh, it definitely does. Yeah. Robusta beans are known for bolder, much earthier, sometimes even slightly rubbery flavors. And yes, way more caffeine. But in a rub, that intense profile actually adds this really intriguing depth, a kind of foundational richness that can cut through fatty meats. You're harnessing its power, really. It's particularly good for richer cuts like beef or pork, where you need that strong flavor to stand up to the meat. It might seem a bit counterintuitive, but that boldness can be a huge asset.
That's a really helpful distinction. Now, okay, roast level, that's also critical, isn't it? I mean, light roast coffee tastes completely different from a dark roast.
Oh, absolutely. Huge difference. Light roasts, they keep more of the bean's natural character, often brighter, sometimes fruitier flavors. Dark roasts give you those richer, bolder, occasionally smoky notes. And then medium roast, which honestly is often a fantastic place to start for a rub, it offers this nice, harmonious balance. Richness, but still some subtlety. The real beauty here is, well, experimentation. Your choice of bean and roast fundamentally shapes the rub's flavor. So you got to play around, find what works for your taste and what you're cooking.
Okay, I have to admit, my first try at a coffee rub, I maybe got a little overzealous with the grinder. Let's just say my chicken ended up with a rather sandy texture.
Yeah.
So yeah, grind size really, really matters, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. That leads us right into grind size. It's absolutely crucial for both texture and how the flavor gets distributed. Generally, a coarse grind is what you want. It helps spread the flavor evenly over the meat. That texture also stops the rub from clumping up, you know? And it's usually ideal for grilling, lets the flavors release more gradually.
But a fine grind, does it have a place too? I've heard some people swear by it for getting a stronger coffee hit.
Yeah, that's a common thought, isn't it? That finer equals more flavor. And while it can give you a more pronounced coffee taste, it often comes with that risk of an unpleasant, gritty texture, especially with tender meats. Now, maybe, just maybe, a finer grind could work better for slow roasting where that grittiness isn't as noticeable, or if you want a really intense, almost espresso-like punch on certain meats.
What I found really clever when I was reading up on this was the idea of blending different grinds. How does that actually impact the rub?
Ah, now you're getting into the nuances. Blending grinds. Yeah, that can give you this multi-layered texture, adds real complexity. So you might get that intense coffee hit from the finer bits right away, but without all the grit. And then you get a slower, more sustained release from the coarser particles as the meat cooks. It also really helps the rub stick better, you know, helps build more robust crust.
Okay, but hang on. Even before we grind a single bean, there's something that can totally make you or break your rub. Freshness. How much does using stale coffee actually diminish the impact? Is it noticeable?
It's huge. Monumental, really. Stale coffee beans just lose those vibrant aromatic compounds. Your rub's impact will be significantly weaker. So for the best results, always, always buy whole beans and grind them right before you make the rub. Maximum flavor retention, that's the goal. And storage is key too. Keep those beans in an airtight container, somewhere cool and dark, away from sunlight. Definitely avoid the fridge. Moisture is the enemy. And if you make too much rub, Consider vacuum sealing the excess. It really extends the shelf life without sacrificing that fresh flavor.
So we've got beans, roast, grind. But you mentioned even the brewing method could impact your rub. How does that work, especially if we're talking about a dry rub?
Right, that's where it gets really interesting. Now, mostly we're focused on dry rubs here, yeah. But understanding how different brewing methods pull out flavor is super useful if you do decide to add liquid coffee, maybe for a wet rub or a marinade or even like a finishing sauce. Different techniques give you really distinct flavor profiles. Think about a French press, it gives you that fuller, richer extraction, more body, maybe a bit more sediment, but a robust taste that could really enrich a liquid part of your rub.
And cold brew, that's usually so much smoother.
Exactly. Cold brew, totally different. It brings this unique sweetness and much lower acidity. Mm-hmm. The result is a smoother, less bitter flavor. That could be great if you want a milder coffee note, maybe for poultry or pork. Something more subtle. And of course, the strength of the brew matters too. Make it concentrated for an intense flavor or dilute it for something gentler. It lets you tailor that coffee essence even more.
Okay, so we've got our coffee dialed in. What does this all mean for actually building that perfect blend? Let's talk base ingredients. What forms the foundation of a really outstanding rub?
Right. Every great coffee rub needs a solid base. Beyond just the coffee, you need those core spices. Think paprika, salt, black pepper. These are fundamental, right? Paprika gives you mild sweetness and great color. Salt is crucial. It enhances the meat's own flavor. Black pepper offers that sharp, pungent kick. But the magic is how they interact with the coffee, that coffee bitterness. It can be beautifully balanced by the sweetness of paprika, or its earthy notes get amplified by the pepper. And you might layer in other foundational spices too, like onion powder or maybe some cumin for extra savory complexity.
And then there's that balance, that kind of artful balancing act between sweet and savory. It feels like you could easily tip it too far one way or the other.
That balance is absolutely key. It really is a high wire act sometimes. For sweetness, yeah, brown sugar is classic. It adds that caramelized note, contrasts the coffee bitterness, and helps build an amazing crust when grilling. But you can mess around with maple sugar or even honey powder for different kinds of sweetness. Then on the savory side, garlic powder, onion powder, those are your friends for deepening the umami, grounding the rub. Careful attention to proportions is just essential. You don't want to completely overpower the coffee or mask its complexity. It's about how they all dance together, you know?
Okay, and to really kick it up a notch, you can add heat and maybe some smoky depth.
Yeah.
But I've seen people go overboard here, like adding ghost pepper and creating something just inedible. It's about enhancing, not overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, absolutely. Enhancing is the word. Ingredients like chili powder or cayenne pepper. They add a lovely warmth that complements the deep coffee notes. Now, for the brave, sure, crushed red pepper flakes or even a tiny bit of ghost pepper powder are options. But caution is key. Smoked paprika, though, that's a game changer for smokiness. It adds this incredible depth that works so well with ribs or brisket, really harmonizing with the coffee's earthiness. And always remember, the spice should enhance, not dominate. Start small. You can always add more heat later, but you can't take it back out once it's in there.
So creating this balanced rub feels like an art form, like you said. It really revolves around getting the proportions right. How do we even start without needing like a chemistry set?
It is an art, but there's some science to guide you. A really good starting point is roughly a 1-to-4 ratio. So 1 part coffee to 4 parts base spices measured by weight. Weight is much more accurate than volume for spices. Now this 1.4 ratio ensures the coffee flavor is definitely present, but it doesn't just bulldoze everything else. You'll probably want to tweak this based on the meat though. Richer beef can handle more coffee. Lighter chicken might need a gentler touch. And definitely, definitely keep notes. Write down your ratios, your adjustments. Your future self grilling next year will thank you.
And then how do you blend it effectively? Gotta ensure that flavor is uniform, right? I can just imagine getting a mouthful of pure coffee in one bite and just salt in the next if it's not mixed well.
Exactly. Nobody wants that. For really seamless blending and to avoid those flavor hotspots, using a spice grinder or even a food processor is your best bet. It just creates a much more homogeneous mix. If you are mixing by hand, make sure you blend all the dry ingredients really thoroughly before adding the coffee grounds. Break up any clumps. Oh, and a neat little trick. You can lightly toast some of your whole spices before grinding and blending. Really wakes up their oils and aromas. And once it's all blended, let it sit for a bit, maybe 30 minutes, an hour. Just let those flavors marry and deepen. Makes for a more harmonious end result.
Okay, this brings up a really important question. How do you actually know if you've nailed it?
Yeah.
How do you test and adjust before you commit to cooking, say, a whole brisket?
That's a critical step for sure. After you've made your initial blend, you gotta do a little taste test. But don't just eat a spoonful of dry rub. Maybe apply a tiny pinch to a piece of cooked meat you have lying around, or even just lick a tiny bit off a damp finger. It gives you a much better idea of how the flavors will actually play together once cooked. And don't be afraid to adjust. A little more salt, an extra pinch of cayenne, it can make a huge difference. Just remember, flavors tend to intensify during cooking, so it's usually better to start a little milder and build up if needed. And again, document everything, your adjustments, what you tasted. Over time, you'll develop this intuition for how flavors combine. That's how you build your signature rub.
Right, so you've crafted this masterpiece rub.
Yeah.
Now, how do you apply it to get the best flavor infusion?
Right.
Let's start with that basic choice, dry rub versus wet rub. What are the pros and cons?
Good question. A dry rub is just that all dry spices applied directly to the meat. It forms this really flavorful crust, especially great for grilling or smoking where you want that bark. A wet rub, on the other hand, mixes the spices with some liquid, maybe oil, vinegar, mustard, or even that brewed coffee we talked about earlier. This helps the rub stick better, and the liquid can help carry the flavors deeper into the meat, maybe leading to a more pronounced flavor absorption. Which one you choose. It really depends on your preference, the cooking method, and the meat itself. Leaner cuts might benefit from the extra moisture in a wet rub to stop them drying out. Big cuts like brisket often do great with a dry rub for that intense crust. But whether it's wet or dry, the key is even distribution. Gotta get it everywhere. Use your hands, really rub the spices into the meat, cover every surface, start with a thin, even layer, then you can build it up if you want more intensity. And press it in, especially for bigger cuts like brisket or ribs, really massage it in so it adheres well. And like we said, with letting the rub sit, let the seasoned meat rest too. Even just 30 minutes to an hour before cooking lets the flavor start to meld and helps the rub stick.
What about the marination time though? Does letting it sit for just 30 minutes really make a big difference? Or do we need to plan ahead for an overnight soak?
How long you let that rub sit on the meat definitely impacts the flavor infusion. 30 minutes. Yeah, it gives you a noticeable surface enhancement, especially on smaller things like chicken thighs or pork chops. But for really deep penetration, that robust flavor, particularly with big cuts like a pork shoulder or brisket, letting it sit for several hours or even overnight in the fridge makes a big difference. If you are going long, definitely keep it refrigerated for food safety. But there's a balance, right? Too little time, it might be a bit bland on the inside. Too much time, especially with something strong like coffee, you could risk overpowering the meat's natural flavor. Now, to get really complex flavors, think about layering techniques. This isn't just piling on more rub, it's about adding dimension. You could start with your base coffee rub, then maybe add a second layer of something complementary, like some dried thyme or rosemary for an aromatic top note, or a final dusting of smoked paprika for an extra smoky kick right before it hits the heat. You could even alternate dry and wet elements. Maybe a dry rub, then a light baste later. Creates interesting textures and helps with flavor absorption too.
What's fascinating there is how these layers don't just build flavor, they build visual appeal too.
Yeah.
It's like you're creating this edible work of art.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. The different colors, the textures catching the light. It really does elevate the final look. And finally, just a quick word on storage and reuse. Keep your finished rub in an airtight container, cool and dark place. It should stay potent for several months. But crucially, any rub that has touched raw meat, you have to discard it. No exceptions. Avoids cross-contamination. Always label your containers too, dates, ingredients. Makes it easy to grab the right one and replicate your success.
Okay, you've made the rub, you've applied it like a pro. Now, let's talk pairings. How do these coffee rubs play with different kinds of meat? Are there any surprising matches that really stand out?
Well, for beef and steak, it's almost a natural fit. The rub beautifully complements that rich, robust flavor you get from cuts like ribeye or sirloin. Coffee enhances the natural umami, helps create that amazing, mouth-watering crust. Works great on burgers too, and of course, brisket. Best approach, usually high-heat grilling for beef, get that perfect sear, lock in that coffee goodness. Pork and ribs are another fantastic pairing. Often there's brown sugar in the rub, right? That sweetness balances the savory pork notes perfectly, creates this really harmonious flavor. Ideal for ribs, definitely pulled pork, even just pork chops. For these, yeah, consider that overnight marination. And then slow cooking or smoking. That really lets those smoky, sweet, savory notes meld with the coffee beautifully.
And what about chicken and turkey? They're huge for backyard grilling, but maybe not the first thing you think of for a coffee rub. How does that work?
Actually, they can really shine with a coffee rub. Poultry is milder, so it lets the coffee add depth without just completely taking over. Apply it generously, get it under the skin as well as on top. It's fantastic for grilled or roasted thighs and breasts. Mm-hmm. Think about beer can chicken or maybe a spatchcock turkey for a holiday. With poultry, maybe consider pairing it with something bright, like a zesty lemon or citrus sauce on the side. That contrast with the rich coffee rub can be really, really nice.
Okay, let's shift to the cooking methods themselves. You've put all this work into the rub. You don't want to just burn it off. Which methods really bring out the magic?
Precisely. You got to cook it right. When you're grilling with a coffee rub, that high heat is great for caramelizing the sugars in the rub, getting that Maillard reaction going. That's what forms that delicious, flavorful crust. Now, it won't totally seal in juices. Meat naturally loses some moisture, but that crust adds amazing texture and helps hold on to internal moisture during that initial sear. So definitely preheat your grill. And using a two-zone setup is smart. You get direct heat for searing, then move it to the indirect side to finish gently, prevents burning the rub. And always, always use a thermometer to monitor the internal temp. Cook it perfectly without scorching that beautiful rub. Smoking, now that adds a whole other layer with coffee rubs. That slow, low heat infuses the meat with aromatic smoke, and it profoundly enhances those deep coffee notes. Works exceptionally well for those big cuts, brisket, pork shoulder, where you have hours for the flavors to just meld and deepen. And think about your wood choice. Hickory gives you a strong smoke. Mesquite is bolder. Applewood is sweeter, milder. They all interact differently with the coffee, adds another layer of nuance. Patience, though. Smoking is definitely a game of patience. And don't overlook roasting. Using a coffee rub when roasting, say, a whole chicken or turkey can be fantastic. The dry oven heat helps form that flavorful crust, keeps the inside moist and tender. Maybe start with a higher oven temp to get some initial browning and caramelization. Then reduce the heat to cook it through evenly and stop the rub from charring. And pro tip. Collect those pan drippings. They'll be infused with all those amazing coffee and spice flavors. Makes an incredible sauce or gravy. Again, meat thermometer is your best friend here for safety and perfect doneness.
Okay, so once you've got these basics down, this is where the real fun starts, right? The quest for your signature, unforgettable flavor. Let's talk about personalizing these rubs with some exciting variations.
Absolutely. This is where you make it your own. Want it spicy? Try a spicy coffee rub. Add cayenne pepper, crushed red pepper flakes, maybe even a tiny pinch of ghost pepper powder if you dare. Pair this with heartier meats, beef brisket, pork ribs, things that can handle that heat. But remember, start small and maybe balance it with a little extra sweetness so it's a rounded heat, not just pure fire. Prefer things sweeter? Go for a sweet coffee rub. Add more brown sugar or try maple sugar, honey powder, even coconut sugar. This works beautifully with chicken and pork, creates amazing caramelization, that lovely sticky crust. You could also add warm spices here, think cinnamon, nutmeg, maybe a touch of allspice. Just again, balance that sweetness with the coffee's natural bitterness for complexity. And for a different angle, think about an herbed coffee rub. Add freshness, aromatic complexity with dried or even fresh herbs, rosemary, thyme, oregano. Rosemary, for instance, can be fantastic with grilled lamb. Thyme pairs beautifully with chicken or turkey, gives it an earthy, slightly peppery note. Just be mindful of proportions, as always. You want the herbs to complement the coffee, not fight with it.
And just quickly on other possibilities. Yes, you can definitely use coffee rubs on veggies. Think bell peppers, eggplant, zucchini adds great depth. Maybe make a salt-free version for that, though it might lack a little punch. And yes, while you can technically use instant coffee if you're really in the bind, fresh ground coffee will always give you a richer, more complex flavor. Honestly, it's worth that little extra step for the taste difference. So, wow, we've really gone deep today into crafting the perfect coffee-based BBQ rub. It's clear it's about so much more than just sprinkling some coffee on meat, isn't it? It's about the versatility, the transformative power this secret ingredient can bring, elevating your grilling from just cooking to, well, maybe an art form. Through those thoughtful choices and getting your hands dirty experimenting.
Absolutely. And it really brings up an interesting thought, doesn't it? How does that whole process, carefully choosing the beans, blending the spices just right, mastering the cooking technique, how does that transform the simple act of cooking? Doesn't it become a truly memorable experience? Not just for you as the chef, but for your guests too. You're creating more than just a meal. You're creating a moment, a connection.
So what stands out to you from today's deep dive into coffee-based BBQ rubs? We really hope you feel inspired now to go out and craft your own signature blend. Maybe even host your next barbecue armed with this new secret weapon.